Hi, folks. I'm Matt Higgins. For those of you who don't recognize me, I'm not Chris, Pastor Chris. He's got a little bit more hair than I do. And a few weeks ago, Chris called up and said, hey, you want to do some preaching today? Excuse me, it's a little warm in here. Relax, God loves you. Oops, there's half of my sermon right there. So Chris called up and said, okay, what do you want to do for a sermon? I said, hey, I got some great ideas. I've been thinking about this for a while. So why don't we talk about how the juxtaposition of all the tax codes in Rome really influenced the fishermen down in Galilee, which then influenced Mary Magdalene. So what do you think, God? Not Chris, God. God said, Matt, follow the KISS method. You all know the KISS method, right? Keep it simple, stupid. I said, okay, we'll take that one and throw it out the window. I said, but you got to give me some help here, God. Give me the words to speak. He said, I will. I said, okay, well, you follow the KISS and I'll follow the KISS. I'll keep it simple, stupid. If you keep it simple, Savior. I said, okay, just remind people that I love them. I said, okay, well, you've all heard that line before, right? I can see some of the eyes are already glazing over a little bit. Okay, we're going to do this a little bit more fun. This is going to be Audience Participation Sunday. Okay, so your lines aren't bad. They're easy. I'll try and keep them simple because, hey, what the heck? So let's try this. I taught myself out of a book a little bit of sign language. Hopefully I'm not speaking it with too much of a Midwestern twang, but it kind of goes like this. God loves you. Okay, and I'll do this a few times during the sermon. I'll give you a wave so you know it's coming because I'm going to use this line more than twice. But let's rehearse a little bit. Ready, everybody? God loves you. Oh, you're doing that great. Okay. So let's look at something else simple. Let's keep it real simple here. Open question. Shout it out if you want to. Why do you follow Jesus? Anybody? Why do you follow Jesus? You love him. Okay. Anybody else? Why do you follow Jesus? He's our Savior. Okay, that's good. Okay, let's flip to the other side. Why did the apostles follow Jesus? Anybody, throw it out. Why did the apostles follow? Why did they start following Jesus? I'm sorry, what? He's dependable. Okay, anybody else? I'm sorry? He asked him to follow. Okay, that's some good ideas. Anybody else? Okay. They had trust in him. Okay. Now, see, I was looking at that, and I always wondered, I looked at that, Jesus walks up to these two guys. Now, Jesus, remember, according to the scripture, he's an authority. He doesn't pick up and read this book. And I looked up authority, and authority says, the definition of authority is something like power. You have the power to make things happen. You have the power to change things. So Jesus is not this guy who reads out of a book a lot like we do. He's somebody who has the power to make things happen, to make things change. I said, okay. Now, there were a couple of the apostles who also had authority. So I started looking at these guys and said, why did these guys follow Jesus? Why at the beginning? Now, eventually, way down the road, after a couple years, Peter says, oh, yes, you are the Messiah. And Jesus says, the Spirit led you to that, not people. The Spirit did. So, yeah, but way back at the beginning, Jesus walks up to this authoritative fisherman, Simon. Name means hearing, by the way. And he said, come follow me. And this guy gets up and follows him. Well, what was Peter like? Let's look at him for a bit. Peter's a fisherman. He learned his trade probably from his dad, who was also a fisherman. Probably his grandfather was a fisherman. Now, what's a typical fisherman's day like? Well, if he's having a good day, he gets up at the crack of noon or later. Don't think bad about that. Fishermen work at night. That's when the fish are running. And he gets up and he fights the wind and the cold and the wet nightly. And he has to go out and throw out his nets and try and grab something to fill the net so he can drag it back to the beach and feed himself and his family and his community. That's what he does for a living. What's his personality like? Well, he's a boat captain. Now, people here, some of you have been in the military. When a boat captain gives a command, you snap to. You don't argue with him. You just do it. Reason being, this water's going like this, and you're going like this, and it's wet, it's cold, and you have to snap decisions out, and on a cold, calm day, calm night, you can whisper, and you can hear it from a quarter of a mile. If the wind picks up or the storm comes up, and in these seas, these storms come like this. Suddenly, this guy's got to make 100 decisions in a matter of a few seconds to keep you people floating on the top of the water, not on the bottom, while not losing your nets, while not losing your catch, and try to make something profitable and keep you guys alive. Now, sometimes he can do this with a whisper, like I say, when the weather's calm. Much of the time, though, the weather's not calm, and you got to bark these commands out, and you got to make your voices heard. That's what he's like, and that's his personality. He's very strong, and he commands, and people listen, and they make things happen. Now, most of the time when you go fishing, you don't catch anything. Part of the joy. So when he gets back to the beach, his personality doesn't change. He lives amongst the community like you and I do. And people come up and talk to him, and he barks at them. That's what he does. Now, people respect him because he has the authority. He's the boat captain. He helps feed people. And people listen to him because, A, he's probably a pretty big guy. He's obviously in really good shape because this is what he does all the time. By the same token, they like him, but he's used to the fact that when they have a social function, he sits in a downward side because, honestly, folks, he smells like fish. Okay? Part of what he also has to do, besides feed his family and part of your family, he's got to make enough money to keep the business going, which means he's got to have enough to pay for his expenses, and he's got to pay the tax man. Let's look at the other authority figure in the apostles, Levi. Levi means, by the way, to join or be attached. Levi's a businessman. He's a tax man. Now, Levi works for their version of the IRS, the Israeli Revenue Service of the time. What's his job? His job is to keep his boss off his back. His boss's job is to keep his boss off his back. His boss's boss got to keep Rome off his back. Here's how it works in these days. It's not new. A lot of this stuff has been going on for time immemorial. Rome says, I need money to pay whatever expenses to run the empire. It tells the governor, whom they appoint down over Judea and over that area, raise taxes, bring it here so we can keep the government going. Okay? Well, the local ruler then sets his little hierarchy down and says, go out and get me some taxes. Now, the leader of Israel, the Roman instituted puppet head, he's got to pay his bills too. Rome's got to pay their bills, give me some taxes. Well, now this ruler's got to pay his bills, raise a little bit more taxes. This works all the way down to the local level, which is Levi. Levi's got to raise all this money for his bosses, but he's got to raise even more for his own expenses. How does he do that? Well, he goes through the books. He knows what you got because he's got the records from the people before him. You've got X amount of property. You've got X amount of assets. Have you got anything more? You got the local people come up at a regular time saying, oh, yeah, sure, and they sit down with him and they hammer out their taxes, and they... Oh, gosh, you can't tax me so much this year because I've had such a bad day. Oh, I don't know. And, of course, Levi hears all of these stories, and he's very sympathetic until the final job is, yeah, okay, I'm real sympathetic. Give me the money anyhow. If you haven't got it, well, anyway, let's back up a second. Levi knows what you've got. Part of his expenses are paying snitches to keep track of what you got. Your neighbor might be knowing where you hide your extra money that you're trying to keep from the tax man. Levi's not necessarily a nice guy. But he's a necessary guy. He keeps the government going. That's where his authority comes from the government. Okay? Now, what happens then? Let's dig a little bit more in Levi. If you don't have the money this week, You know somebody you can loan them, you can, who will loan you the money at exorbitant interest rates, and today we call them loan sharks. Now, Levi gets a kickback from this guy. If you don't pay off the loan shark has your properties. Okay, fine. Levi knows somebody who wants to buy the property. Now, if he sets this all up ahead of time, way ahead of time, Levi gets a kickback from the guy who buys the property, too. Because his daddy, who taught him that job, because this is an appointed position, it's either his dad or his father figure, taught him how to do this job. And they taught him the golden rule of business. Them that got the gold makes the rules. Sound familiar? Hasn't changed much. Okay, now if you don't have the money, what else you got? Levi's willing to work, you know, dicker with you. Sometimes these negotiations get a little bit sticky. Sometimes they get downright nasty. Harvey Weinstein didn't invent anything, folks. So, Jesus walks up to him in the middle of the day. Says, come on, follow me. What's Levi do? He throws a party. He invites all of his friends. His friends are also not nice people, but they're there at the party. When the party's over, Levi follows Jesus. And I thought, why? Why did either one of these two guys follow Jesus? They're both power people of authority. Peter gets his authority from the community, from people who know him, from his personality. Levi gets his power from the state. Very big state. This is Rome. And he's part of it. Why did they follow? What did Jesus say? When Jesus met Peter, Simon, he's walking down the beach, and he sees him, and he says, I want to talk to the people. Let me get on your boat. Go out there so I can talk to the people. So he goes out there, and he preaches to the people on the beach. And when he comes back, he says, Peter, Simon, come on, follow me. And Simon does. And when he's at that party with Levi, people on the outside are going, Jesus, what are you in there with these guys for? They're sinners. He says, yeah, they're sick people. I'm a doctor. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. That's why I'm here. What did Jesus say? What did he do? That's what this is about. See, God is spirit. And God is the same spirit here right now in this room as he was 2,000 years ago in these rooms with Levi and Simon. Same God, same spirit, same one as Jesus. That doesn't change. We do. So what did Jesus say? So thanks for listening to me, but a lot of this we don't really know, so I'm going to make some of this up. But Jesus said, God, let's try this again. Make sure you're awake. God loves you. Feed it back. Let me hear it. Come on. Come on. God loves you. Good. That's a lot of what he told them, but he told them in a lot of different ways. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not judgmental. Love is faithful. And they're thinking, all these people are hearing this now. What's going on in Levi's mind? What's going on in Simon's heart while they're hearing all of this? And then he starts teaching them about heaven. And he says, heaven is like a great pearl. And when you find it, you go out and you sell everything you have to go and attain this. You listening, Levi? It's money. And Levi says, wait, ooh, it's like a pearl. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like when you go out fishing and you cast your net and you bring in a great amount of fish. Now you have to get all the way back to the beach and you sit there in the morning and you start saying, hey, this one's a keeper. This one we're throwing back. This one's a keeper. This one's we're throwing back. Simon's paying attention. And then he starts teaching them more about the kingdom of heaven. And he starts teaching about what love is. Because that was his whole message. Jesus never said, pay attention to me. He said, pay attention to God. God loves you. He said, you don't believe me? Look out the window. Anybody see a bird? God knows every feather on that bird. But God loves you more than he loves the bird, and the bird gets fed. The bird's got a place to lay his head. God is your father. God loves you. How many times do you go to your father and say, hey, I'm hungry, I need food, and he says, here, have a rock, chew on that. Fathers don't do that. When you go to your father and say, I hurt, he says, okay, here's a balm. Here's some way to relieve it. He doesn't say, smack upside the head, say, hey, you only feel the greater of two pains. Doesn't happen. Jesus kept telling him, God loves you. He told him that at the party. He told that to Simon. He told that to the people on the beach. And suddenly, something inside these guys, the Spirit starts getting to them. And Levi looks at him, and he starts seeing something. Let's back up a little bit. What? Why were they following? He wasn't a rock star. Brian, can I have that first picture up here? That's the one on your cover. And I looked at that and said, now, did Jesus look like this? No, they weren't following him because he's a rock star. If this guy comes down, he starts walking down the street with lights beaming out of the eyes, you think he's a UFO, he's an alien from the UFOs, right? Let me see the next one, please. Now, this guy comes through. He's walking down. This guy walked down the street right now. What's he going to end up doing? He's going to end up on a reality TV show. Come on. This is something different. This is somebody who can show his heart from the inside. But is this what Jesus looked like? The odds are probably no. These are fictional type of, this is what we think Jesus looks like. Can I see this third one? This guy, what do you think about him? It's okay, folks, relax. God does not, I'm not hitting you over the head. I took a picture, I took a look at this guy and went, would I buy a used car from this guy? I'm sorry, no. Forensics anthropologists put this picture together. This may or may not be something generically about what Jesus looked like. Jesus was despised of men. He was rejected. People didn't come to him because he was some big rock star. He was a big athletic star. Any of that. They came to him because the Spirit led them to Jesus and kept them there. You can keep that one up, please. This is the guy who says, God loves you. This is the guy who said, all of those wonderful parables. I'm trying to think of one right now, but that's okay. Because the Spirit of God is still alive right here, right now, the same as he was 2,000 years ago. So Levi's sitting there, elbow to elbow with him, looking at him and wondering, why am I with this guy? There's something about him, it attracts him. It's like I'm a moth to a light. And I can imagine Levi thinking to himself, I didn't know I was blind until I saw the light. And that's what he is, and that's what Simon did. They were attracted, and they couldn't leave. Because suddenly these words that he's speaking, that God loves you, starts penetrating. Simon hears, and with ears that are finally hearing, and they're getting down into a soul, and they're getting down into a spirit. And he says, God loves you. And they're going, wait. It's making something inside just churn and burn, and they need more of it. They need to know what this is and why they feel this way, because the Spirit is moving within them. They've never experienced that before. Until the Spirit brought them to life, they didn't know what breathing was. And then it finally starts getting ready to them. God loves you. That's what he's saying and what they're finally hearing through the Spirit of the Lord for the first time ever. First time ever. God, come on. God loves me. They finally heard it. It got into their soul. It got into their heart. God loves me. Despite anything and everything I've ever done, God loves me. And I know who and what I am. Tell yourself that. We're going to do it one more time. Come on. God loves me. Where the Spirit is heaven. Heaven is within us. Hold on to that. And when the day goes through and you're feeling the clouds come, when you're caught in a traffic jam, and Chris isn't the only one who does this, instead of cursing out the other drivers, just remind yourself, God loves me. Jesus makes a change. He's got the authority. He changes lives. He rearranges lives. And these guys suddenly, like, again, moss to the flame. They don't want to get burned by the flame. They're going to be turned into butterflies. And the Spirit stayed with them. And they walked and talked with Jesus. And that's all he ever taught them. The whole scripture is based on two things. God loves you and God loves me. I know God loves you because I know God loves me. So when you know that God loves you on the inside and you dwell on this and you tell someone else, they know that you're the authority now because you know what you know. And you know that God is with you. Therefore, you can say very honestly, God loves you. And people will know that you know what you're talking about, and they can believe that God loves them because they know that you know God loves you. Let's do this one more time. Take a moment and reflect. But this time when you bounce it back, I want to hear this. God loves me. You're not telling it to me, though. You're telling it to yourselves. When Jesus walked and talked, a couple of times the voice of the Lord was heard. This is my beloved Son. And everyone heard it differently. Everyone heard it the way they needed to hear it. To some it was like a rushing wind. To others it was like the whisper of a baby. But it was all the same message. It's all the same Spirit. It's all the same love. So let's do this one more time. And this time, do it vocally. If you want to sing it, sing it. I didn't know I had a voice until I sang the praises of the Lord. If you want to whisper it, whisper it. If you want to jump a pew, be careful. Don't land on anybody. One more time, folks. God loves me. That's the truth. I have it from the highest authority.